Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Well, an off-duty cop is in hot water after picking up a prostitute in Brooklyn and leaving her in his still-running car, his service weapon on the front seat, while he stopped to get some cash for their rendezvous. The hooker allegedly saw a golden opportunity when Officer Allie Shepard got out of his Jeep Wrangler to hit the ATM. She got behind the wheel and took off.
Can't even trust a hooker.
And while police have since caught the lady of the night and recovered Shepard's vehicle, his Smith & Wesson pistol is still missing out there somewhere.
Where's my gun?
Yeah, where did I leave that?
You're a bad hooker.
And even Shepard's dad couldn't believe his 38-year-old son, a U.S. Army veteran who's been a cop in the last 13 years, could be so boneheaded. When asked about it, he said, "You've got to be effing kidding me."
You always keep your gun on you when you're going to the ATM for hooker cash.
Dad Eugene Shepard said from his home that he shares with his police officer son. He said, "I'm in total shock. I would never have thought this. The man has been in the service twice. I've never heard that he would pick up a prostitute." Shepard allegedly hired Laquana Lawton, known as Unique, at Liberty Avenue and Sackman Street around 12:15 on Tuesday. They were headed to a motel, but Shepard made a quick pit stop to withdraw some cash from the ATM. That's when Lawton jumped behind the driver's seat and drove off with the firearm on the front seat. Police found Lawton ejected Jeep and some narcotics and drug paraphernalia around 3 p.m. The gun was nowhere to be seen, so Shepard is now in a little bit of trouble from this incident. A University of North Florida dean has resigned after he allegedly engaged in a sex act on campus. And wait till you hear the scenario.
So boy.
The soccer coach called police and told them that he saw two individuals engaged in a sex act in a stairwell adjacent to the stadium's press box. Police said investigation revealed that Dr. Mark Tumio, dean of the College of Computing, Engineering, and Construction, met someone on an internet application named Adam for Adam and agreed to meet him on campus. When questioned, Tumio told police that he was just there to talk to the man about his bat business. According to the report,
"I'd really like to meet you in the stairwell to discuss your bat business."
He told police the man may have been bending down to tie his shoe, and that may have looked out of place, apparently.
Well, yeah. It's a misunderstanding.
After telling Tumio that the man admitted to their sexual encounter, Tumio told officers he was there to engage in some oral. The man was issued a trespass warning.
Dr. Mark, I can't talk right now.
And Tumio was, resigned, according to school officials. So he was.
Wait a second. Here you have a guy who's really trying to explore bat options for the team.
I mean, come on. You know?
All right. Gets in hot water.
Waiting for a letter that never arrived, possibly? Well, it may have ended up dumped by a U.S. Postal Service worker along a South Jersey street. A Facebook post...
You're supposed to deliver that stuff, right?
...shared more than 3,000 times shows a dozen mail bins stuffed with items discarded off of River Road in Pensauken. The mail, discovered Sunday, was dated August 8th and for delivery from the Roxborough Station post office. Oops. Agents tracked down the employee who threw out the mail but learned that the person resigned from the post service on September 8th.
You ever just look at one mailbox and think about all the life-changing potential letters that are in one mailbox?
Absolutely.
And things that people are desperately waiting for.
So this guy quit and just dumped all the mail. Authorities did not identify the worker or a possible motive for the bizarre incident. So they
it's
got
a felony.
It.
Yeah.
I actually spent an entire summer painting mailboxes because my mom had nobody asked me to. My mom worked for the post office, so I'd actually I would wash the vehicles from time to time, and then I also painted mailboxes, and that paint is like super thick. I don't even know what kind of paint it is, but so that was an entire summer. It was good money, cash money.
Cash money.
Cash money.
Nice.
Back to you, Preston.
All righty then, I'll take the floor.
Here's in mailbox painting.
A 90-year-old cow.
Hi, I'm Michael Bolton. I'd like to tell you about the career opportunities available in the world of mailbox painting. I know last time I was talking about cows, but they seem to be better now.
That's good.
Okay. I'll move on.
Okay. Are you sure? Because I got this now.
I am Michael Bolton. Hamilton. What are you doing next summer? How about painting mailboxes? Casey says the paint is very thick.
Okay. A 90-year-old California man was charged in the death of his stepdaughter after authorities said they found key evidence through the woman's Fitbit. Tying the man to her murder. Listen to how this played out. It's a terrible story, by the way. Anthony Vincent Aiello was arrested in the death of Karen Navarra, who was found dead inside her home in San Jose. Navarra was discovered slumped in a wooden chair while clutching a kitchen knife in her right hand.
Jeez.
Leading authorities to initially believe that she may have killed herself. Now, an autopsy later revealed Navarra's suicide was staged. She had multiple deep and intrusive wounds to her facial area and a head that caused skull fractures, along with a gaping slit to her neck. Authorities ruled that the 67-year-old woman's death homicide after finding that she couldn't have self-inflicted the wounds, which were most likely caused by a small hatchet or axe. Now, police interviewed Aiello and found his account of September 8th, the day Navarra died, didn't match up to evidence found on security footage. Aiello claimed that he was... that he went by his stepdaughter's house to drop off a pizza. He spotted her driving by his home later in the day. Security footage, however, showed that his car was parked in, at her house from 3:12 to 3:30 p.m. Okay, 3:30, 3 p.m. Navarra's car wasn't seen leaving the home. So police also found a Fitbit device on Navarra. They contacted Fitbit and they got the data. They discovered that her heartbeat spiked at 3:20 p.m. and then slowed down and stopped registering at 3:28. So they had
the time of death.
The attack and the time of death.
Ooh, dear God.
From her Fitbit. And this was the same time frame that his vehicle was seen at her house.
You know, that's going to, Casey, with the Apple Watches now, mm-hmm. they have even a more thorough suite of things like the Fitbit. So you're going to find this data being used in investigations more and more.
Yeah. Aiello attempted to provide an explanation for investigators' new discovery, saying that he couldn't have been with his stepdaughter when she was killed because she had walked him to his vehicle. Mm. He denied that he was present when she was killed and suggested that someone else might have been in the house. But authorities said they also located blood-stained clothes at his house, though he claimed that the blood was from him frequently cutting himself. He was arrested on suspicion of murder last week. He's held without bond. This dude killed her.
Yes.
And they have the evidence. So that's pretty wild. I'd never heard of a Fitbit being used as evidence. But you're right, Steve. You'll see more and more of that stuff popping up.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
This is the most Swedish story I think I've ever read.
All right.
A road in western Sweden was covered in herring on Tuesday after an accident caused by an elk. So a truck was carrying herring.
What the f***? Is this?
And forced to brake to avoid hitting an elk, causing the vehicle's fishy cargo to spill all over the road.
That's one crazy ass story.
Between 10 and 20 barrels of herring fell out onto the road, most of them breaking open and covering the ground with the traditional Swedish delicacy.
Oh, man.
They said there's herring on a 100-meter stretch on the road, and there are herring fillets in a ditch, according to Robert Olesen from the local emergency services. The road was closed while the team of six from the emergency services got to work removing the fish and clearing the road with the help of the truck driver. Elk and other wild animals cause thousands of road accidents in Sweden each year. Over 60,000 were reported last year alone.
I believe it.
Yeah, we saw reindeer and moose all over the place when we were there, yeah. A hotel has come under fire after its new, quote, communist theme chamber features murals of Adolf Hitler and Nazi propaganda. So I don't know why it's the communist theme.
It should be the Nazi.
It should be. Video footage.
You have Chairman Mao or something, or Stalin.
Yeah, video footage takes you inside the room in the Villa Love Hotel, which is said to be extremely popular among swingers and randy groups looking for orgies.
And somewhat unaware of history.
Two giant images of Hitler stand on either side of one bed.
The most famous communist of them all.
As a massive swastika hides behind a TV. But strangely, above the bed, the communist hammer and sickle can be seen mounted on the wall. Lighting up the whole room. They were enemies.
And Sweden's own Mussolini.
The resort, located near Bangkok, Thailand, has sparked outrage, particularly among the Jewish community, for its lack of historical knowledge and sensitivity.
Hey, we tried to make a theme room.
How about this? There are lots of places it's acceptable to do pull-ups, but an airplane is not one of them.
Oh.
American Airlines Flight 2673 from Phoenix to Boston was forced to land in Kansas City after a passenger reportedly refused to stop doing pull-ups on an overhead compartment.
What the hell?
A witness says the man, who has not been named, boarded the plane with two dogs and appeared to be drunk. After he began doing pull-ups, a flight attendant asked him to stop, and the man reportedly became verbally abusive.
I'm feeling the burn.
After being told to sit down multiple times, the man still wouldn't listen.
I'm just going
to
do it on the wing.
The plane pilots were forced to land in Kansas City. Law enforcement officers boarded the plane and escorted the passenger off, and the flight continued on to Boston as planned. The man was not charged.
So I guess you'd be facing in towards the seats so that your legs were bent in the aisle.
Yeah.
Right. Hanging off the...
Hanging.
Somehow or another, finding something to grip onto and doing that.
And he could find no place to put his exercise bike.
By the way, do you notice a lot of these stories end with the line, the man was not charged in the incident?
Yeah.
There's the people go, they have these crazy, outrageous, drunk outbursts on plane, and they never get any real legal trouble.
I don't get that. Yeah. They'll tase you if you try to bring 4 ounces of shampoo onto a plane. Right.
I do follow, there's an Instagram follow, it's kind of funny, it's called Passenger Shaming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing what people will do and try to do on an airplane. I saw a picture yesterday of a guy who, I guess he for his son was potty training, he had the kid taking a dump in the middle of the aisle on a
flight.
During an active flight. Yep,
there you go. Okay.
Incredible.
One last story. Kathy saw this. We got a nice chuckle out of this. A couple of University of Utah football fans learned that their hard-earned cash, $1,060 of it, was destroyed in their shredder courtesy of their two-year-old. According to a Twitter user, he and his wife had been saving to pay up for University of Utah football tickets in cash. As they pulled out their money, the cash was mysteriously gone. That mystery was solved when they eventually found the envelope and the cash in the shredder. The Twitter community got involved with suggestions that the couple get out some tape, and another person stated that mutilated currency can be redeemed by the U.S. Bureau of Engraving and Printing. He joked that his son, tall for his age, is grounded from all fun. He also said there is a possibility the Treasury Department will recover some or all the destroyed money amid several calls for a GoFundMe page. So... Oh, my God.
Thank God it worked out that way.
I hope so, yeah. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.